Nice to be with you all. Can we just open in prayer? Lord, we thank you that we can come and open your word. What a treasure we have, and how you would, through your Spirit, show us more of the Lord Jesus. Help us to be like him more and more each day. We need your grace in that, Lord, and we just give you thanks in your name. Amen. Skip asked me what I was speaking on, whether it was something seasonal. I said it wasn't. But it made me think of a story that's seasonal that you might appreciate. It's a true story. It happened to me back in college. A young lady had just gotten saved and was just getting into the scripture, and encouraged her in God's word. And it was around Christmas time, and I said to her as we were leaving a meeting, I said, "Did you ever see the Christmas tree in the Bible?" And she sarcastically said, "Yeah, I guess Santa Claus is there too, right?" And I had told her, "Look at Jeremiah 10 when you go back to your room." And she said, "Oh, Santa Claus is there too. And I said, "Yeah, it's in Hezekiah chapter 2. So she went back to her room. She was in a hurry, but she wanted to check it out. So she turned over to Jeremiah chapter 10, in the King James Version. And this is what she read as she was scanning through it. Verse 3, "For the customs of the people are vain. For one cuts a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen, the axes. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not." So you kind of stop there. So, maybe what he was saying was true. So then she started looking for Santa Claus. And she's looking for Hezekiah chapter 2. Now, you know there's no book of Hezekiah, right? But it sounds like a book of the Bible. So she couldn't find Hezekiah, so she went back to the index. And the closest, she said, maybe I misunderstood him. The closest that she could come up with was Zechariah. So she flipped over her Bible real quick to Zechariah, and making sure she got the context so that I wasn't pulling anything over on her, she looked in Zechariah chapter 1, and she read this on verse 8. "I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse." And then she glanced over chapter 2, and she read verse 6. "Ho, ho, come forth and flee from the land of the north." So she came back to me and she said, "Well, I looked up those two scriptures you told me, and yeah, you were right." I'm going, what is she talking about? And then she told me the story of Santa Claus in the Bible. So it teaches you, stick with the context, know where you can get anything out of the Bible, right? You have to stay with the context and check it out. But that was an interesting coincidence. I want to look at Romans chapter 14. Start from verse 14 of chapter 13. And Paul's writing to the Romans says this: "Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. He that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations, not to deciding of opinions. For one believes that he may eat all things, another who is weak eats herbs. Let not him that eats despise him that eats not, and let not him that eats not judge him that let not him which eats not judge him that eats, for God has received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteems one day above another, another esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regards the day regards it to the Lord, and he that regards not the day to the Lord, he does not regard it. He that eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he that eats not, to the Lord he eats not, and gives God thanks. For none of us live to himself, None died to himself. But whether we live to the Lord. Whether we die, we die to the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ has both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord, both of dead and living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you set at naught or despise your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know I'm persuaded by the Lord Jesus, there's nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteems anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if your brother be grieved with your food, now walkest thou not in love. Destroy not him with your food, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he that in these things serves Christ is acceptable to God, approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it's evil for that man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbles, or is offended, or is made weak. Have you faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he that condemns not himself the things which he allows. And he that doubts is judged if he eat, or condemned if he eats, because he eats not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Paul says here, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we have to ask the question, well, what does putting on the Lord Jesus Christ look like? Actually, in our meeting this morning, we had several things brought up that tells us what that looks like. But when he says put on, he's not saying put on. You know what I mean? When you come to meeting, put on. No, that's not what he means. Because earlier in chapter 12, he talks about, let your love be without dissimulation, without hypocrisy, it means. And the word there for hypocrisy comes from the idea of an actor. And the actors would, you know, when they were played a part, they'd put on the mask. He's not saying, when you come to meeting, put on the mask of the Lord Jesus so that, you know, everybody likes you, you know, you act like him when you're here. He's talking about our daily walk. And I think if we're all honest with ourselves, we have to say our look at home maybe a lot often looks different than when we're in our meeting. You know, somebody says we're all normal until you get to know us, right? Because when you get to know us, you know, we know each other in your home, and, well, you know, they know what I'm already like. You know, I don't have to put on. But what he's saying here is the character of the Lord, like in 1 Corinthians 13, is to be our character. The disciples, when they in Acts are speaking about the Lord boldly, those that saw them said they took note that they had been with Jesus. And when they're at Corinth and they're going around talking about Christ, that's where they're first called Christians, because those believers talked about Christ, were living like Christ. And the Lord says to us, put on Christ. The first verse, first couple of verses in Romans 12 tells us the secret of it. It's not just an outward putting on, but it's an inward metamorphosis. That's the word, transfigured. And that word means changed from within so that then the outward appearance reflects what's inward. And, you know, in this book of Romans, Paul sets before us the central truths of the gospel, of how all sinned come short of the glory of God, condemnation for all. But then, how are we made right with God? Justification. How do we live right before God? Sanctification. What is the hope that we have before Him? Our glorification, chapter 8. And then he tells us a dispensational section where he gives us about Israel as a nation, past, present, and future, chapters 9, 10, and 11. Then in chapter 12 and on, he says, all right, if all these things are true of us, if you're a believer, if you're saved and justified, how should we live? What should our behavior be in the assembly, in using our gifts, towards the world, not taking vengeance when we're mistreated, walking in lowliness of mind? As far as the government goes, chapter 13. And then in the end of the chapter, he sums it all up. It's all love. We're to walk in love. Christ's character was love. And we're to put that on. Not in an outward show. But as we, like Moses, are in the presence of the Lord, our face will shine. You know, people will know that we were in the presence of the Lord. And Peter tells us that you won't even have to go out and witness, because they'll come to you and ask you about the reason of the hope that's within you. Because they see that difference. But if you don't spend time with the Lord, you can't be transformed. We have to hear Him speak to us daily. We have to speak to Him and fellowship with Him daily so that we take on His character. Now, in chapter 14, you remember the church at Rome, as well in many of the churches in the early believers, many were Jews, many were Gentiles. And culturally, if they were brought up, there was probably no bigger difference culturally than between Jews and Gentiles. In our day, we know there's different cultures in our own country, but our cultures are much closer together than were the Jew and Gentile back then. And there was a tendency for those things that you're brought up with, that you're comfortable with. In fact, you might be brought up certain things that you think, this is, I mean, there's not scripture for it, but this is right. And if somebody's doing something differently, they're wrong. And it was creating friction among the believers, not over essentials of the faith, but over preferences, over cultural things, over whether it's wrong to eat certain foods or drink certain drinks, whether you should esteem one day and keep that as celebrate that special day, or whether you don't. And among the believers, there were those differences of opinion. And the problem came in where instead of putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, they were making provision for the flesh. They were establishing, well, my culture, the way I do it, what I like is better, is right, and you're wrong. And the other one says, well, you just don't know the liberty that you've been brought into, you know, in Christ, and look down on them. And they both were taking a position, instead of what Paul told them about lowliness of mind, they were taking a position of high-mindedness, judging on the one hand, despising on the other, over matters that were non-essentials. Augustine put it, In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, love. And for believers, we have a communion, a common union. And it's all centered on Christ and on the Lord Jesus. But there are peripheral preferences that we all have. And the enemy wants to work in each assemblies of God's people to stir up problems over the non-essentials and to start criticizing, to start despising. Before you know it, there's friction among us. And Paul has to say, look, we receive one another. We don't want to receive. When you get to the point where you agree with me, then I'll receive you. No, we don't have to decide that you have to agree with me or I have to agree with you. We're seeking the Lord. And we trust that each believer is seeking the Lord, even if we differ on some small issues. Now you think, well, we don't really have a big deal over what we're eating here or even certain days maybe necessarily. But you know, you look back at the history of the church and what has caused divisions? What has caused frictions? Seen it? Do you pray with thee and thou? That's the holy higher. Or do you pray with you? I've seen that create problems. Which translation do you use? I've seen that create problems. The breaking of bread. Let's see, should we use unleavened bread or should we use leavened bread? Let's see, should it be wheat or rye? Should it be grape juice or wine? And baptism. Let's see, do you baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or do you baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus? I mean, almost any subject you can think of, believers have divided over. And it's created great friction. And you see, the problem comes in because we let room for pride in our hearts. I'm better than you. I know better than you. I'm superior to you. And when you take the position of a judge and criticize, you're usurping the Lord's position. When you despise, you're usurping the lordship of Christ. And Paul has to say to them, one Lord, every one of us have to give an account to. And you have no right to take his place. You have no right to think yourself superior and to look down on somebody else who might differ in one way or another from us. But we're called that even though we differ, we love one another. It's easy to love when you don't have any problems, when everybody agrees with you. But it's harder to love when there's disagreements there. And it's not just that maybe we're too vocal. James tells us about it. You know, the Lord gives us two ears and one mouth for a reason, right? We need to sometimes not say anything. And often we have to give other people the benefit of the doubt that we give ourselves when we're judging or despising. Paul goes on here to say, look, the brother who eats, he gives thanks to the Lord for what he eats. That's great. The one who doesn't eat, he gives thanks to the Lord as well. Because what's most important is that each one of us are desiring to walk by faith and by encouraging each other to follow the Lord. I would rather my children disagree with me on a non-essential and do it because they believe this is what God's saying to them or what the scripture's saying than to follow me just because I said it. Or just because I believe it. Because I'm not going to be here all their lives if the Lord doesn't take us all home. That's one thing about those of us getting older. We're not all going to be here. And our young people, we want to encourage you all get into the book and follow this. Follow the Lord. Do what he tells you. He's the one you have to give an account to. The older ones, if the Lord doesn't come, one thing for sure, we won't be here. You'll be here. You'll be left. You can't just say then, well, this is the way they always did it when issues come up. You have to be able to say, this is what God's showing us in his word. This is where our faith, our living faith, is in the Lord and his direction for us and for one another, and not just tradition. I grew up in the Roman Catholic Church, and there was a lot of tradition there. And when I was coming to the assemblies, the person I was talking with, he said, well, we don't follow tradition. Well, you know what? I've been in a number of assemblies, and some brethren would make good Catholics. They follow tradition. That's a danger, just to follow tradition and not have the Word of God before you, not follow him. And Paul brings out before them, you got to follow the Lord. That's your only sure foundation, is to continue to follow him. And he says, believers can disagree and both be right. Yeah, that's what he's kind of saying in this chapter. I can think, I should eat, I can eat certain things. I have the liberty to do it. And I don't have any conscience about it. And before the Lord, I can do that. Now, he'll modify that for us at the end of the chapter. But somebody else says, well, you know, like Peter, the Lord says, eat. You know, three times, remember in Acts, the sheep came down when he's in a trance, and the Lord says, slay and eat, Peter. And Peter said, I've never put any unclean thing in my mouth. This was after he was saved. God had to convince him, don't call something unclean that the Lord has cleansed. But he had a conscience that the Lord gave him liberty eventually. Now, he failed in that in Antioch. Remember, and he separated. And Paul had to withstand him to the face for that, because he was making a principle out of it before the believers. And that's not what Paul's telling us here. But somebody can genuinely, with conscience, say, I shouldn't. And because of his conscience, he shouldn't. Same person over here, over the same thing, say, I have liberty to do it. And he can do it because he's walking by faith and seeking and gives thanks, because the Lord has made everything to be received with thanksgiving. Both are right. And to force the one against his conscience, or to encourage him to violate his conscience before he received freedom in the liberty of the scriptures, is a dangerous thing. And he warns about that. That's getting ahead of things. But he goes on to say, look, every single one of us must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We won't stand there with somebody else, each one of us. And so what the Lord says, you need to walk by faith. I need to walk by faith. As God shows us his word, he expects us to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, to act like he acted in every situation. God has given us numerous examples of different situations that arise. Seek the Lord on what to do in those situations, and then follow him. We get our eyes off of Christ sometimes, and we look at one another. Remember Peter? You know, as much as we say, we're thankful that Peter spoke about everything we just thought and didn't say, because it taught us a lot of lessons. But the Lord was telling Peter, Peter, when you're restored, you're going to go a certain direction, and this is the way you're going to glorify me. Well, Peter's looking over here at John, and he says, well, what about him? What will this man do? And you know what the Lord says to him? In effect, Peter, none of your business. If I decide that he should live on till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. You walk in faith and follow me. Don't look at somebody else and say, well, what about them? Look at them doing that and therefore justify your behavior. The Lord says, follow me. obey me, because you'll have to give an account to me and to me alone. I am the Lord. So, first of all, on our side, don't try to take the position of the Lord over somebody else. Whether it's by judging because they eat, or by despising because they don't eat. Both are positions of high-mindedness. And the Lord's example to us, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, is to get down and wash each other's feet, lowly-mindedness. And don't have the water too hot when you wash their feet, or too cold. You know, have the right temperature water when you wash their feet. Paul could tell the Philippians, do nothing through vainglory or empty glory. And then he told to give us that good passage where he talked about the one who emptied himself of the glory. That's the example to put on the Lord Jesus Christ towards one another, towards differences of opinions, preferences, what I like. And there's a warning, really, for both older and younger ones in this. If you're older ones and you're making decisions in the assembly, it's not for you to do it. Say, well, I'm going to do it this way because this is the way I like it. I'm comfortable with this. Rather than seeking the Lord and saying, well, what's best for God's people? Remember in Ezekiel, I think it's 34. Ezekiel, it talks about the old rams. It talks about the old rams who, when they would get the grass or whatever, would shove out the young ones and eat all the good grass and go to the water, you know, and trample all the water and get to the nice clear water and muddy the water for the young ones because they could, because they were bigger, because they were older, because they were stronger. And that's real dangerous, you know. As we get older, we make sure that we're not doing things just because I like it. Pleases me. This is the way we've done it. And I don't care what you do when I'm dead, but this is what we're going to do while I'm alive. You know, that spirit. That's not putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's making provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof, to please ourselves. We need to be thinking about what has built up the saints. Encourage them. Encourage them to walk in the Lord. See what's really important. Paul says, the kingdom of God is not on these peripheral things, on eating and drinking. It's on righteousness. It's on peace. It's on joy, the Holy Spirit. There is nothing that will take away the joy out of an assembly is bickering over non-essential things among yourselves, among ourselves. And this is a danger for all of us. I'm not saying, you know, we enjoy coming here to see your assembly. I mean, it's so nice to see the variety and the children and the age groups and all. And we're blessed. So, but there's always a danger you have to watch out for, because the enemy is always at work. Promote that which edifies. Pursue peace with one another. And the word there, pursue, is a very, follow after it says, but it means pursue. It's the same word, actually just translated to persecute. You know, Paul persecuted the church even to Damascus, pursued them to get them and put them in jail. If you have friction with somebody and you're not at peace with a fellow believer, pursue peace. Go out of your way to work out peace. Because, you know, before you know it, the way the enemy works, like in Corinth, if those who have different opinions now start taking sides. Well, we like so-and-so's preaching. No, I'm a Paulite, you know. And others stand there and say, well, I'm of Christ, you know. And you start taking sides. Then, like in Galatians, you start making principles about the sides you take. And you make rules and legalism. That's why Paul had to withstand Peter before them all, because they set a standard that was undermining the gospel. But it all starts with these kinds of things and our failure to focus on what is most important. See, they're young people. Are they walking with the Lord? Are they having a daily quiet time with the Lord? I shouldn't say just young people. How about older ones? Are we spending time with the Lord every day? Are we disciplined in our lives to talk with Him and He talks with us in His Word so that we can be transformed, so we can be more like Him, so we can put on the Lord Jesus Christ? Or do we just go to church on Sunday? Are you using your gift for the benefit of all? Or you just come to be entertained? Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's service. Every one of us has a service and has a ministry. What's your ministry? Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Serve the Lord's people in love. The thing that makes it all work together is love. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. 12, he tells us about all the gifts that we have. It's all the parts of the machinery. And he tells us about love. It's the oil of the Spirit that makes it all run smoothly. Then in chapter 14, how we do things in the assembly in that which is decently and in order. Not outward appearance, just. I could have said about preferences, sometimes the music you use, or how you dress, or all these kinds of things, right? But promoting what builds up, not what tears down. Now, one last thing he goes on to warn. Paul clearly says, look, God has shown me in His Word the liberty that we have in Christ. And there are those who still are weak because they haven't seen that liberty. And Paul's not saying that weak should always remain weak, or that the weak should run everything and use their weakness to say, oh, you all have to do what I say, because Paul says we're weak. You have to not offend me. And the offense there means stumbling them. What it really means is, here's somebody who has a conscience, a weak conscience about doing certain things, going certain places, eating certain foods, and we tell them, don't worry about your conscience. Go to. It's always dangerous to violate your conscience. Even if your conscience is weak, you should never violate your conscience, because it's the first step that leads to a brother's shipwreck. Because when you violate your conscience in one area, it's easier to violate it in another. It's our warning system, our moral warning system. And once you start to deaden it, it leads down to a path of destruction. And Paul says, yes, I have liberty, but I won't do it in a manner, or use it in a manner that might cause my brother to violate his conscience and tear down that for which Christ has died. Maybe somebody had a drinking problem in their past or whatever, and they have a conscience, you know, they can't touch it because it will lead them back into it. Well, you be very careful. You might say, I have a liberty to have a glass of wine every once in a while, but don't do it in a way that might cause that person to get back into it and violate his conscience. You have to be careful of that. And if the Lord has made us strong, it's not to trample on weak people. It's to help people that are weak. Not that they should stay weak forever. To be enlightened by God's Word. If the Lord has made us smart, it's not so that we laugh at the people that we consider stupid. Right? If the Lord has given us this ability, it's not to use for our own pride. It's to share, to build up somebody else. That's what all His gifts are for. And the thing that makes it work together is love. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for ourselves to please ourselves, but to do everything in a manner that is pleasing to Him. And when we do this, then we're walking by faith. And then we're encouraging each one of us to walk by faith. Not lording it over anybody's faith. There's nothing more stifling than if people put you under the law. And you know, it's not scripture they're talking about. It's just they're just pleasing themselves. But they're using scriptural terms to make it look like they're not. Because you know what it does? It gets you focused on yourself rather than on the Lord. We want every one of us to be looking to the Lord, and we obey Him. We follow Him because He's our Lord. He's the one to whom we give an account. So we pray. Lord Jesus, we pray that You'll help us to put on Your character in our lives, one of love towards one another, pursuing peace, things that are the kingdom of God is truly made up of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, Lord. Pray for all Your saints that we would enjoy the great blessings that You have given to us so freely, that we would encourage one another to enjoy them as well, encourage one another to walk in faith and not in doubt or walking in sin. Help us, we pray, Lord. Pray this in Your name. Amen.